The next issue in the contract is called closing and possession. And understand, the possession isn't necessary to close of escrow. We can close the escrow and the buyer is already in possession, or we can close the escrow and the buyer doesn't take possession of the property till after close of escrow. So let's talk about what some of the issues are. The first question they ask, which I think is really critical here, it says, buyer intends to occupy the property, or you check a box and it says does not intend. Why is that important? Well, it's important for the lender, isn't it? Because the lender will only make certain loans to people that are owner-occupied. And if it's not owner-occupied, then you've got to put a whole lot more down, and there's also a lot more criteria that they're going to look into. Now, I've been on a lot of lawsuits where this has become an issue, because checking this box incorrectly is lender fraud, where you're trying to cheat the lender as a buyer by coming in and trying to get an owner-occupied loan for 3.5% down, when maybe the same bank requires 25 or 30% down if it's not owner-occupied. Now, it also is interesting because who checked the box? I've been on cases where the buyer testified during the trial, I didn't check that box, my agent did. And think about it, you're the one filling the contract out. So you have to really understand what this is about. So I think if you have a gut feeling or the spirit is talking to you and telling you this doesn't make a whole lot of sense, this buyer that lives in an expensive house is buying this little crappy rent house somewhere and they're telling you they're going to own or occupy it, you know, that's probably not the truth. You're the one that's going to be liable for this if somebody comes down on you for it. And remember, this is a federal crime. This isn't some local breach of contract issue. The next issue is, when are you going to deliver possession to the buyer? Now, I think a lot of people don't understand the issue of recording. If you don't know what that means on the day that it closes, the title company takes all this paperwork down to the county recorder's office, and they physically stand there waiting for the county recorder to open. And then each title company hands them a pile of papers. And then the recording department of every county goes through these papers and does whatever it does and stamps them and then records them, and that's officially transfer of title. Now, the problem is we as the buyer, seller, or even title companies or escrow companies don't know that happened until that messenger for the title company comes back and says, okay, it's closed. That typically doesn't happen until at least noon. So even though you closed escrow today, it didn't happen at 8 o'clock in the morning. It happened somewhere like noon. So the purchase contract defaults to 5 p.m. asking for possession. So possession to be at 5 p.m. Now, there is a box where you could check and be later. Like, for example, maybe the seller knows that their truck isn't arriving until noon to pick up their stuff, and they're not going to be out till maybe 8 or 9 o'clock at night. You can negotiate that up front. So understand this discussion has to be made, but the contract defaults to 5 p.m. And then the next issue is, when is possession going to take place? Is it going to take place on close of escrow? That's what the contract defaults to, but it's possible that it could be what? It could be before close of escrow, where the buyer gets in. I don't recommend that. There's lots of risk having a buyer in your property prior to close of escrow. But if the seller is sitting there with a vacant house and the buyer needs to move in for some reason because they're being kicked out of their place, is it wrong to have the buyer in prior to close of escrow and the seller start getting rent for 3 or 4 or 5 days? I don't think so. You just have to make sure you do the contractual issues and the law and the protection and the insurance and all those other issues to make sure everybody's in good shape. You don't just let somebody in. Or you can check the box that says, what? No later than blank days after close of escrow. So is it okay for the seller to stay in possession of the property after close of escrow, even though the buyer owns it and is now paying for it? Sure. That's called a rent back agreement. And we typically have that to where the seller pays the buyer's PITI, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, so that the buyer isn't out. He's just inconvenienced. This is also commonly done. Like, for example, let's say we knew the property had to be tenanted and that, you know, why would the buyer want to move in and then move everything out? Or people say, well, why doesn't the seller tent the property prior to close of escrow? Well, I don't know if you've thought about that, but let me tell you that 3 or 4 or 5 days prior to close of escrow, what's the seller doing? The seller's packing. They don't have time to tent the property. So if I know their property needs to be tenanted, I might negotiate a seller rent back just for that purpose so that the seller moves out of the property at the normal time they would have, which would have been the close of escrow date, but that there really is a rent back agreement between the buyer and the seller so that the seller can actually get the property tenanted if they agreed to pay for it. And The contract always talks about something, too, that I think is critical to understand. If possession and close of escrow or transfer of title, whatever you want to call it, doesn't occur at the same time, buyer and seller are advised to enter into a written occupancy agreement, either a rent back or buyer in possession prior to close of escrow. That's critical, even if it's one day. I've had agents say, Guy, isn't it true that if it's only one day you can do it? Well, let me tell you a horror story. I had a buyer, and we sold the property, and the seller stayed in an extra day because their over-the-road trucker couldn't get there on time. So we got a one-day rent back from the seller, okay? And I figured, well, I was a new agent. I didn't know any better, so we just did a proration in escrow. That is, meaning that the seller paid for my buyer's cost for one day. So I arrive at the property like at 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. The movers are still there. They're loading the last things into the property. My buyer's all excited about their new house. And as they move the refrigerator out of the kitchen, the movers tear the vinyl floor. And they go, oh my gosh. So they sit down and they write up a piece of paper and say, okay, we know we damaged it. But in the meantime, my client is crying. What's going to happen? And I said, well, obviously they're taking responsibility for it. Here's the problem. The seller is the one who contracted with the trucking company. So when I go back to my office and take this piece of paper and call the trucking company, they've never heard of me. And they said, we can only talk to the seller. Well, the seller happened to be driving from California back to North Carolina. It took him 5 days because he visited here and there. So we didn't even get to start the process. And in the meantime, here is my buyer living in the property, and right in the middle of the kitchen is this big torn piece of vinyl. The seller did follow up eventually with the moving company, and we got paid. It did take almost a month, by the way. And what would have happened if the seller would have just not returned my phone call? Is my buyer going to try to sue somebody in South or North Carolina, wherever he was? I don't think so. It's not going to happen. And I would have probably wound up having to pay for that. Because one of the things that happens on this rent back agreement from a seller is it asks for a deposit. Now, if we'd had a deposit, do you see that that would have been probably enough to pay for this repair? The point is, why would a seller who's lived in a house 22 years put a deposit down on this agreement that we have, this rent-back agreement? Well, the reason is they don't own the property anymore. You now are in my property, and it's possible that something can happen. Any kind of accident could happen, and you'd damage my property, and my buyer would be out to dry. So, boy, what a great lesson I learned. So the way I operate right now is if any time the seller is in possession after close of escrow, I always get a deposit, and I think that's what you need to do as well.